Hey, you're listening to the Encounter Church podcast. To learn more about Encounter Church, visit us at ecdenver.org, or you can find us on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. Thank you for listening.
So your joke for today, this is a really good one. I planned it. So I read a study the other day claiming that humans eat more bananas than monkeys, which sounded obvious because I can't remember the last time I ate a monkey. I know. What I really like is the pause of like, oh, right, I know. That's so great. Totally, totally fun. So Reese and my boys, they're doing a partial vacation, so they're up in the mountains. Isabel and I, we drove back yesterday. And so you get like the pinch hitter, because Reese will be back next week. But I'm excited to share this morning, and what God has put in my heart has been resonating for lots and lots of time now, and it's called the quarantine cure. How many of you would like a cure for the quarantine? Oh my goodness, seriously. So I want to encourage you to get out your phones, piece of paper, notes, whatever. But there's three cures for quarantine. And when I was thinking about this, I was praying about it. I was reflecting back and I was like, and we were talking, you know, in leadership meeting a couple weeks ago and about Encounter Church. And you know, Reese used to say this all the time, and it was, for me, I would hear it so often, I would be like, click, check the box, you know, kind of like, okay, I heard that. But Encounter Church, we are a diverse community of people seeking God together, sharing Jesus in love to our city and world. And sometimes when we go through difficult seasons, I don't know about you, but I can get, I'm like squirrel, like Pastor Steve just said, you know, like you see something, you're like, whoop, distracted. And I felt like Holy Spirit was challenging me, Sarah, let's come back to vision. Let's come back to who are we? What are we doing? And we're in the midst of unprecedented times. I'm not arguing that. I'm not ignoring it. In fact, I want to step into that with us today, all of you watching online. I want to step in. I want all of us to step in. And let's remember and let's recall, who are we? We are a diverse community of believers seeking Jesus and to share God's love with our community, our world. I didn't get it all right, but you got the general gist. You can go online and look at the website. But I want us to think about who we are, but I also want us to think about it in relation to quarantine and what this looks like in relation to community. Because the quarantine thing is tricky to navigate. I go back to April when here in Colorado, we did shelter at home. And that was weird. Anybody think that was weird? Anybody think that was not weird? I have some friends and really good friends, and they're introverts, like hardcore. I'm an introvert, but they're like, woo, on that end. They're like, this is fantastic. This is my daily living. I love it. I'm like, okie dokie. But April was hard. April was really hard. And I had community. I had my family with me. And I love them. But one of them said the other day, we don't need more family time. We've had plenty of that stuff. We need some external input here. And I get it. I get it. But I want us to think about the quarantine. How do we work with that? Because we do have significant health concerns that are happening. For some individuals who are in a high-risk category, this is a major deal. For some of us who are not in a high-risk category, we're like, what's the deal? I know some teenagers who think they're bulletproof, you know, and they're like, hey, move on. Let's get on with it. So, I mean, this is hard. It's really, really difficult. And it's difficult to think about how do you do community, diverse community in the midst of a global pandemic and mass quarantines. How do you do that? How many of you have that question? And even more than that, do we need community? And I would argue with you and I would propose to you that at this time in our lives, we have never needed community more. And you're like, well, how do you do that? I get it. How do you do that? So I want to talk about some cures, some quarantine cures. The first one I want us to look at is really important. It's the physical cure, physical quarantine cure. And there's a reality to the pandemic. There's a reality to COVID. There's a reality of people catching it and having health compromised and people dying legitimately. There is a reality to that. But this is not the first communicable disease that's entered history. And in fact, if you go back in the Bible, you look at Jesus, he dealt with communicable diseases, one of which is called leprosy. And leprosy was highly contagious. I mean, you would have a group of lepers, and they would yell to everybody, unclean, unclean, because you didn't want to catch that. Because if you were in Jesus' time and era, there was no cure for leprosy. And it was a brutal, nasty disease. Tell me, what do you know about leprosy? Just shoot it out. If you're online, you can post comments. What is it? Incurable. You lose some of your ears, nose. It eats away at your, yeah, I mean, and it's very contagious. And so you had to isolate. So this idea of quarantine in Jesus' time was very, very real. And it happened, and it was part of their society. It's like ours today. I mean, we know this is real. It's between the eyes. So what do we do with that? And I want to remind you, in Matthew chapter 8, Jesus dealt with a guy who was a leper. And you can see in verses 2 to 4. And I find it interesting because I want you to consider the context. In Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7, Jesus is doing the Sermon on the Mount. The Sermon on the Mount was Jesus outside with a crap load of people, boatload of people, if you don't like that word, pick something different, a whole heap of people. I mean, they're all shoulder to shoulder, and they're listening to Jesus. This is not social distancing. This is a crowd. They're all there. But in chapter 8, immediately, and remember, when they wrote the Bible, they didn't write it in chapter and verse. It was continuous. So if you could extract these superimposed chapter verse thingies, you would see Jesus went from this giant crowd to immediately to a leper, which is a major contrast. I mean, you got this crowd of people, and the leper shows up on the scene. So the crowd of people could have been like, ah! You know, because lepers are obvious. The things are falling off and skin is, and they smell bad. I'm serious. So the leper shows up on the scene immediately on the heels of this great giant big crowd for Sermon on the Mount. And I appreciate that Jesus didn't run away and get scared. In fact, the leper says, if you're willing, please heal me. And I love what Jesus did. He said, I'm willing. I'm willing. And he touched the guy. I mean, of all the things he should do, that's like letting somebody sneeze on you today. You know, you ever been in Walmart and somebody's sneezing right now? And everybody's like, ah! You know, it's like cockroaches, we all run away when the light goes on. Somebody sneezes, ah! But Jesus didn't do that. Jesus touched the guy. He stepped immediately into his physical context and he healed him. He healed him. And in this quarantine experience and all the physical stuff that's going on, I want to challenge you that Jesus is our healer. Always has been, is now, and always will be. Because Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus continues to heal. And we can ask Jesus and come with faith that Jesus heals us, heals our infirmities, heals our sicknesses, heals our diseases. So if you have COVID, if you have cancer, if you have whatever skin, and I want to pray specifically, and I felt this, and I was talking to the Holy Spirit about our time together today, I want to pray for those of you who have skin problems right now. So if you're watching online, because you're part of our community, whether you're online or you're in the room, whatever, I want you to stand to your feet if you have any kind of a skin problem. That can be eczema, that can be, I don't know, what are these things? Psoriasis, is that a skin problem? You can have warts. You're like, oh, you're channeling your mom. Don't get nervous on, like warts, you know, tumors and growths. Don't get nervous. But if you have any kind of a skin problem, I want you to stand to your feet. Skin cancer, you have tumors, whatever it is, just stand to your feet. You're like, are we going to touch them? No, we're not going to touch them. But we are going to extend our hands and pray. Pray for these individuals and for those of you in the room as well, because we got people standing or at their computer watching right now. So just those of you seated, extend your hand to somebody standing or to the screen right now to pray for somebody watching online. So, Father, I thank you for your healing power that's in this room. and in this room for these individuals on the computer watching online. I thank you for your healing power that sets each individual free from skin problems, no matter what it is, from the top of their head down to their toes. I know your healing power goes in and removes the eczema, brings clear skin, brings complete transformation. I rebuke skin cancer. I rebuke any kind of disease that happens in the skin. Tumors and growths, you have to disappear. You're not welcome. I thank you that Jesus Christ, the healer, is the same now in this room, online here. In Jesus' name, healing power that clears away skin disease, skin problems, in Jesus' name. Thank you for doing this today, right now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. So I want you to keep me posted, and you can like email or text me, whatever, and let me know how it goes, because Jesus is our healer. But when you look at the end of chapter 8, Matthew 8, chapters verses 2 to 4, I want you to see one of the things that happens. Jesus touches the guy and heals him. And then he says this in verse 4. He says, "See that you tell no one, but go and show yourself to the priest and present the offerings that Moses commanded." And what Jesus does, he not only heals his physical body, but he integrates him back into community. Go back and show the priest. And from this point on, you're not ostracized, you're not excluded, but rather you're integrated and included. You're back in community, sir. And Jesus helps us with this. Jesus integrates us back and says, "I know you've been excluded, but now from my healing power, not only are you healed physically, but your community is restored as well." So one of the cures for quarantine is Jesus healing us, healing our bodies. But I want you to look at a second example or a second quarantine cure, and I call this the P&E cure. P&E. You're like, what does that stand for? The P&E cure stands for politics and economics. I can watch some of your body language like, and some of you online like, "Ooh, what's she going to say?" P&E, politics and economics. Is there a quarantine cure for politics and economics? Well, I would propose to you that Zacchaeus is a great example of Jesus curing the P&E quarantine, politics and economics. Now, when I bring this up, and this is in Luke chapter 19, I recognize that we live in a highly charged political environment. Can I get a witness? Holy buckets. Oh my gosh. And we're doing this election thing again. And I don't know about you, but 4 years ago, I saw people torching all kinds of relationships and connections because of politics. I mean, Facebook, how many of you know that was like difficult? How do you navigate that? And economics, our economy right now is interesting, to put it mildly. So when I look at Zacchaeus, and those of you doing the Sunday school, you're hearing the little words in your mind, the song, right? Zacchaeus was a wee little man. Can you sing it? A wee little man was he. He climbed up in a sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. Bree's job is not in danger. We know that. So, but why is Zacchaeus? Zacchaeus, let me just tell you, he was like anathema. Nobody wanted to be around Zacchaeus. Why? Because he was a tax collector. So he would come to your house and take away your money. Not an IRS agent on his computer sending you an email. He's at your door knocking on at you and saying, "Hey, you owe me money." So nobody likes that guy, right? I mean, they're like, pretend like you're not home. Seriously. And then it's politics as well, because he's collecting money for a Roman Empire, oppressors. So this guy's the double whammy. He's the social, he's the political and economic leper of his day. Nobody wants to be around this guy. And I say this because I think our world that we live in today is highly charged with politics, highly charged with economics. And the reality is, I'm just going to step into this, it seems like we want to have our relationships based on people who agree with us. But not everybody agrees. If you and I go to lunch, I love Diane Ryder. We go to lunch, Diane is not a big pepper fan. I'm ratting you out a little bit. Sorry, I didn't ask permission either. Sorry about that. But I love pepper. I like hot sauce. I like the hotter, the bring it. I mean, like, I don't mind getting the hiccups and everything's, you know, running. The eyes are running. My nose is running. I like it. I'm like, bring it on. But that doesn't exclude Diane and I from enjoying a meal together. I don't make her eat pepper, and she doesn't restrict me from eating pepper. We don't make that a hot spot where we can't come together and enjoy community. How about this? I have another friend of mine who's highly, highly liberal. I mean, like, if I told you some of the things, you might drop your teeth. Oh, my God. And we don't agree. She brought something up with me the other day. I remember she told me when Isabel was going to college, well, Sarah, you know, you need to da-da-da. And I was like, I tried to not twitch. I mean, like, and she's like, well, this is what I did with my daughter. I'm like, you know. And I'm, you know, but it doesn't mean that I don't hang out with her. Just because, here's the thing, family, you don't agree with everybody, and they don't agree with you. Why does your relationships have to be based on conformity? Community is not about conformity. Community includes diversity. You're different than me. I'm different than you. But that doesn't mean I have to stay away from you. And Jesus stepped into that diversity with Zacchaeus. I mean, Zacchaeus was the penultimate. Exclude this guy. He's a freak zone. Nobody likes him. We should ostracize him. We should completely kick him out of society. Jesus didn't do any of that. In fact, he saw Zacchaeus. Out of everybody surrounding Jesus in the midst of this crowd, he looked up in the tree and saw a small man. Small man complex. Anybody heard of that? I don't need to go down that rabbit trail, but it has some valuable input. But he saw a man who is small, who is economically, nobody liked him, and who is politically, everybody hated his guts. And Jesus didn't say, get away from me, you sinner! He didn't do any of that. He's like, dude, come down, I'm going to have lunch at your house today. I don't agree with what you've done and how you behave and your whatever, whatever. I'm still going to have lunch with you. He didn't let the P&E be a quarantine exclusion, like we can't stay. No, he had lunch with this guy. And I want to say to you, you're not going to agree. In my family, one of my children loves to eat meat and cannot appreciate and understand why a person would be a vegetarian. But I'm like, that's okay. You get to be you, boo-boo. I get to be me. I'm not a vegetarian, but family, since when did we have to conform to have a relationship? Conformity is not the same thing as community. It's not. Never has been, never will be. And the reality is, your differences make me better. My differences make you better. We don't have to, we can disagree without being disagreeable. We can do that. And we can be polite and respectful. I don't totally see it that way, but I can appreciate your point of view. And I'm not going to try to change you and make you agree with me. Since when? And we're coming into the political season. Hello, family. We can make it exclusive and ostracize, or we can respect the differences and emphasize diverse community. Jesus did that with Zacchaeus. He called him down and said, hey, let's go have lunch at your house. And he has lunch at Jesus' house. And by doing so, Jesus steps into the center. And can you imagine the community, everybody, the crowd that was with Jesus, watching him? Oh my God, he's doing Zacchaeus. He's doing that tax collector, little jerk dude that came to my house and tried to get all my money. He's going to his house. Can you imagine the response of that crowd? Jesus stepped into the center of it. He didn't tiptoe around it and like, what are we going to do? Ignore it, pretend like it's not there. Not happening. Jesus stepped right in the center of all the controversy and connected with this guy and said, let's have lunch at your house. And the guy was changed from the inside. If I stole from anybody, I'll replace it 4 times. How does that happen? He was changed on the inside. Jesus steps into the center of controversy, of politics and economics. He doesn't dance around the side of it and pretend like it's not there, ignore it. He steps in the middle of it. And if Jesus can be the center in our lives, even more than politics, can we make Jesus more important than our political parties? Can we make Jesus more important than economic position I did a sermon a couple months ago about Jesus doesn't do us and them, Jesus does we. If Jesus is the center, he's a unifying force and thing, then we love Jesus and Jesus helps us change on the inside and be gracious. And how do we have kind words? How do we disagree with somebody without being disagreeable? Jesus is the center. If I keep Jesus as the center, then the politics and economics take second fiddle to the priority of Jesus in my life, in my heart, in my soul, in my thoughts, and how I do the world, how I process the world. That's ground zero. If we want the cure for the political economic quarantine, Jesus has to be the center. End of story, full stop. Jesus is the center. And then the final cure for quarantine, I'd say, is number three. And I think this is one of the most powerful ones. And I call this I say this with love, TLC, tender loving care. I call this the crazy quarantine. And I say it with the greatest gentle heart that I could possibly do. Because quarantine has created all kinds of mental health challenges. Reese did a sermon on it a couple weeks ago. Mental health has never been more of a struggle now than it has because of all of the isolating, quarantine, and pressure that's on our daily living. So how do we navigate this? And I want to point your attention to Luke chapter 8, verses 26 to 39, because Jesus steps into crazy. Jesus steps into that mental health space. And there are people in this room watching online, myself included. Back in April, my mental health was not very good. It wasn't. I was struggling. I was having a hard time. And I went in the basement and did my work down there, which was good because I got work done. But I needed to take a walk every single day. And if I didn't take a walk, the world got really dark for me. You're like, really? Well, it's true. Hard. Just flat out hard. Hard to navigate such difficult circumstances. And Jesus steps into that mental health space, the crazy. And I say this because he left all this great crowd, applause, recognition, validation, woo-woo, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. He left all of that, went across the Sea of Galilee, and landed in Luke chapter 8, landed on the shore to meet a crazy guy, a guy who was completely ostracized from his society, and reasonably so. Because when you read the description for this guy in Luke chapter 8, at the very beginning, it talks about, in verses 26 through 39, it talks about how this guy was so crazy that he lived for a long, long time with no clothes. So he ran around naked. It says that the village that he lived in, they tried to chain him and control him, and he would break the chains. It said he cut himself. We know what that is in our world today. We have people who cut. He cut himself. He lived isolated in the tombs. And he would howl at the moon at nighttime. And he was the crazy guy. Our society has a lot of crazy people, has a lot of people that have mental health challenges. People in this room, people watching online. It's difficult. And in this season, it's even more difficult. Seriously, family. And what do we do with that? What if we're struggling with our own mental health? What if we know people, and you probably do, and nobody wants to admit it, right? Nobody wants to say, hey, I'm about ready to lose it. Twitch, twitch. You need to, but I'm telling you, family, it's true. You might be seated next to somebody who doesn't have the courage to tell you. It's hard. It's hard to deal with mental health and mental illness. And the guy isolates himself. And I love that Jesus comes and steps on the shore. And the guy, he's demon-possessed. And whenever demons do anything to humans, it's always cruel, mean, hurtful. It always isolates them. It always excludes them. It always does horrible, horrible things, tormenting. And this guy has been tormented by demons. And I want you to appreciate, I think, the fact that he got himself in front of Jesus. I think there was this internal conflict within him. I think the demons were telling him, run away from Jesus. And I think he was so tormented, the only hope I can find, hopefully, to get away from all this torment is to get in front of Jesus. And that mental anguish, that tension, that conflict inside of him, run away, get in front of him, run away, get in front of him. How many of you could appreciate what that was like for that man? I mean, he is tortured. He's tormented. His mental illness is like all consuming. It's everything he can do to get himself in front of Jesus. And Jesus did everything he knew to do to get himself in front of that guy. He left all of the applause, all of the accolades, all of the praise and the glory and the honor to get in front. He goes to the mental health asylum and says, I'm here with you. I'm here to help you. I'm here to be a part of your redemption, of your freedom, of healing you. And family, I want to tell you that in our world, the world that we live in now, I don't think mental health has been more of a challenge than it is right now. It is difficult. So what do we do with that? What do we do with that? You know somebody that's struggling with mental illness? You're struggling with mental illness. First and foremost, I say, get in front of Jesus. And I don't care what you look like, naked, not naked, cutting, not cutting, you know, struggling, you want to live at night and sleep in the day. Whatever it is, get in front of Jesus. And Jesus isn't repelled. Jesus isn't like, oh my gosh, you're a freak. Get away from me. Jesus doesn't do any of that. He steps into that space, into the crazy. Feel like you've lost your sense of reality, your grip on reality. I can't, Jesus steps into that. And he's present. He's present in that crazy insanity. He's there. And I love what Jesus does. He talks and he tells the demons, get out of that guy. And the demons like negotiate. Hey, can we go into the pigs? Certainly, you go into the pigs, help yourself. The pigs get demon-possessed. The pigs run off the cliff, jump into the Sea of Galilee, and they drown. And the pig herders, I don't know how you get Jewish pig herders. That's another question, but a rabbit trail. Those pig, maybe they're not Jewish. I don't know. But the pig herders run to the village, and they tell the village, and remember, in the meantime, those pigs have run off, and here's the guy completely empty of demons, and he's empty, but in the meantime, and you have to see what's happening at the same time, those pig herders go to the village, they tell the village, oh my gosh, remember the crazy guy, the tomb? Yeah, you gotta come see him. The pigs are just, tell them. And so the village comes out, and the village sees the guy, and I want you to look at these in verses here, verses 35 and 39, because the village turns out, and they see what had happened. They came to Jesus, and look at what they saw, found the man from whom the demons had gone out, sitting at the feet of Jesus. This is a guy who could never be chained and controlled. And he's sitting. He's stable. He's steady. He's sitting down. Clothed. Because remember, he'd run around for how long? Completely naked. In his right mind. Jesus does this. Jesus does this. Community fellowship with Jesus heals the crazy. And we've never needed Jesus. We've never needed community more than we need it now. He's sitting there clothed in his right mind. And then I love what Jesus says in verse 39. Because the guy is like, hey, I want to hang out with you, Jesus. How many of you know? I'd be like, yeah, breath of fresh air, life, vitality. And in verse 39, it says this. Jesus tells the guy, no. I want you to go back to your house and describe the great things God has done for you. So he went away, proclaiming throughout the whole city what great things Jesus had done for him. You realize Jesus restored the man to community. He put him back in connection with his family, with the village where he lived. And through this man's life, Jesus received glory and honor. Family, I just tell you right now, we need community. We need Jesus. And I appreciate it's hard right now. I get it. It's really hard. I'm not ignoring it. I'm going to give you some ideas, fun ideas for some community possibilities. But I want to point your attention to three common cures, three commonalities with the cure. Number one, Jesus is central. Jesus is a center for each cure. the center for the leprosy cure, the P&E cure, and the crazy cure. Jesus is the center for all of that. And Jesus cures what is hurting, sick, wounded in each of us. And then finally, community is connected with each cure. Community is essential. And family, I want to say this. I'm going to speak this, and I feel it strong in my heart. Community includes forgiveness. When we don't forgive, we compromise community. You can't do community without forgiveness. Because people will hurt you, and you will hurt people. That's how that plays out. But if we're committed to the community, then we're going to keep our forgiveness fresh. Some of us have forgiven, but you need to freshen it up. Because it's gotten stale. It's gotten kind of stiff. Do you ever, like, go and you know how, like, if you leave bread in your pantry and how it'll get crackly and moldy and, like, gross, you know, and it'll crumble apart? Sometimes that's what our forgiveness looks like, moldy and crumbly. And if you put any pressure on it, it falls apart. Some of you need to freshen up your forgiveness. That's just a side note. But community is essential. Jesus is the center, and Jesus is our cure. Jesus is our healer. So how do we do community in this context? How do we do community? You're here, some of you watching online. How do we do community? And I'm going to give you some ideas. And I want you, everybody now, to take out your phone. Why are we taking out our phone? Not to play games, not to Facebook. If you're watching online, you can take out your phone. But Tyler's going to help me with this. We're going to put some screens up, and I want you to take pictures of the screens. I was like, well, let's pass out a sheet of paper and layer. No, we're not doing that. Well, we could put a stack up. No, we're not doing that. So pictures on your phone, right? Wherever there's an obstacle, you can get creative to overcome it. So that's what we're doing. We're being creative. So number one, you'll see here, this is a link on the Encounter Church website. And these are our encounter groups. Really great pictures. There's Pastor Aaron and Ashley, Sarah and Nathan, Ken and Tammy, Mike and Lucretia, Nubia and Jason, right? Did I get that right? Yes, I always mess up names sometimes. But so these are all of our encounter groups. If you go online, you can look under events, and under events, you'll see groups. These are our encounter groups. You can participate. You're like, well, how do I participate with an encounter group? You know, I'm socially distancing. I'm not going out of my house. Zoom. How many of us have been Zooming? Like, we Zoom, Zoom, Zoom on Zoom. Anybody ever see that one? I love that one better than Electric Company. Not quite as much as Sesame Street. So, encounter groups. That's one of the ways that we can participate and emphasize community. Number two, we have, and I want you to flip to the next slide, Tyler, please. You can see here at the very top is the URL for the encounter groups. And then number two, you can see there's a parenting group on Tuesday nights with Pastor Kate and Lisa Max starting in September. A parenting group for all the parents who need a sanity check. Yes and amen. What am I doing with my kids, right? Are they going to school, hybrid school, not going online? I mean, seriously, right? Have we ever needed more parenting help than now? No, right? Well, maybe. Number three. Oh, I love this. The Bible Project on Wednesday nights with Jordan and Sarah. Jordan, wave. The masked wonder. Sarah, wave. Wednesday nights. They're doing this thing called the Bible Project. When are you guys starting? Next week? September. Thanks for the help. September. Oh my gosh, this is going to be so fantastic. I've been watching some of these Bible video thingies. They are the bomb diggity. So phenomenal. I'm serious. And it's Bible. And it's not just somebody teaching you the Bible. It's community. It's getting to connect. Then you can look down here. Sunday Bible study with Pastor Frieda and Pastor Sarah. Out on the porch. They're doing it right now. Love this group. We sit on the porch and we talk about the Bible. The end. Oh my gosh. Last week we did this. I came out of there, I saw Diana, and I was like, oh, Jesus answered a prayer for me that I was praying from the time I was 16, and now I see how he answered it. This is amazing. I'm going to tell you about it sometime. It was off the chain, but it came from that group that they're doing right now. And so I encourage you. And then you can pick a group for attending. You can Zoom or do otherwise. You can participate, whatever, FaceTime, lots of ways to do community. Okay, the next slide. I want you, these are creative ideas. call or text someone. Stop expecting people to text you. Seriously, you call, you text. Well, they never call me, they never. Do you know a relationship has two parts? You and the other person. If you're not participating, it's not a relationship. It's a one-way street. I have friends, and I don't really call them friends because it's always one way. They don't check on me, but you know, every so often, hey, how's it going? And I'm saying, and I will do that because I choose to be kind and loving. I choose to be the friend. But community means both ways. A relationship has two parts. It's mutuality and reciprocity. So check on people. I'll never forget, we did a Zoom interview with Pastor Bree when she first started in April. And one of the things she said is, you know, I'm here by myself. I left Colorado Springs and I'm new to this community, brand new. I mean, she was here for 2 weeks and then we start shelter at home. That's exciting for a worship pastor. Like, that's not a perfect world. And I remember in the interview Reese did with her on a Zoom, she's like, you know, it would really be helpful if people would just text ever so often and check on me. So I heard that and I was like, that's exactly what I'm going to do. I'm going to text her every day. Hey, checking in, what's going on? And I wasn't trying to be intrusive or a nuisance or nagging her. I'm just checking because I care. Text people. Don't expect people to always be texting you. You get to do that too. If you're always expecting somebody to text you, then you're a victim. I'm going to move on. Number two, you can see I feel passionate about that. Here's an idea. This was fantastic. Isabel did this. She's brilliant. I love the creativity in my daughter. She did a drive-in movie. And here's what she did. She bought a little tiny projector off of Amazon, like $60, and she projected it on the garage door. Invited a boatload of her friends over, and they all sat in the back of their cars, backed up to the drive-in movie. And we had a drive-in movie. She brought out, they brought popcorn and snacks, whatever, brought their own, and they all came. And they did the drive-in movie at our garage, on our garage door. How cool is that, right? And I pull up and there's all these like teenagers everywhere and I'm like, bring your lawn chairs. I mean, my garage door is messed up. So put a sheet on it, right? Get a sheet and drape it over there, tape it up. There's a lot of ways to do creative stuff. Another one. Oh, I found this was fantastic. In April, my pickleball friends and I, we played categories on Zoom. Yeah, you know, they're like, what's categories? I was the same way. I'm like, what is categories? Never had so much fun. You pick something and then you list all these words that are associated with whatever that is. We had a blast. I went in the office, laughed my head off. One of the best things that happened to me in April. It's categories on Zoom. Another thing I heard about this, Antique Roadshow. So what it is you find something. Remember back in elementary we did show and tell? Anybody ever do show and tell? You bring it and you stand up in front of the class and you tell the class about whatever, whatever. Well, you do this on Zoom. And you could do this, and I say antique, because you could do this with like a family heirloom. So something that's cool from your family. So maybe I would bring one of my dad's cane chairs, which are everywhere, because he did hundreds of them. Here is yet another, and I could just like line them up. But we all have, and so you can do these ways to connect. And I'm telling you some of these, you could do a book club at the park. I'm telling you some of these creative ways to do community, because community is the answer, the cure with Jesus to quarantine. We have to have community. We are family, a diverse community of believers, I'm going to say it, of people, seeking God together, sharing Jesus in love to our city and our world. We've never needed a community more than we need it now. We need it. And we're going to have to be creative, and we're going to have to be committed and diligent to do it. But we can't let things like politics, economics, physical struggles, mental health, we've got to let Jesus be central to overcome these quarantine struggles. So I want to ask you to close your eyes and to bow your heads. And I want to give you the opportunity today. I just want to pray for you. How many of you are struggling with community? It's hard for you. It's hard to know how to do it, hard to connect. It's just hard. You're struggling with community. If that describes you, I'm not going to make you stand up. I'm not going to come lay hands on you. I'm not going to sneeze on you. All I'm going to do is pray for you up here. If you're watching online, maybe you just say, that's me. But if you're struggling with community, just slip up your hand. I want to pray for everybody with their hands up. So Father, I thank you for each person with their hand up right now. For those of us who are struggling with community, whatever it is, because of politics, because of health issues, because of our own mental health, whatever it is, I pray for each one of us with our hands up. Help us to see Jesus as our center. Jesus, we invite you into whatever is unhealthy, whatever is sick. We invite you into that space. And we thank you, Jesus, that you bring healing. Healing in our hearts. Healing in our conversations. Healing in our relationships, our connections. Help us, Jesus, to make this step and stay in community, stay connected. Thank you for helping us with this today. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to finish with this. I have a verse I want to minister to this gentleman here. You have gray pants on, and you have that really nice, pretty teal shirt. And this is a verse. I welcome you. I'll hand it to you afterwards, or whatever. You could take a picture. It's Psalms 37, verse 3. And it says, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and cultivate, or rather feed on the faithfulness of God. And I just felt, as I was praying this morning, I felt like God said, you know, there's a lot of things where you could be distracted, you could be discouraged, you could have a lot of different focuses, but God is encouraging you to feed on the faithfulness of God. Go back and recount how good God has been to you. Go back and take an inventory. Go back and list, well, God, you took care of this situation. God, you took care of that person. You took care of this financial need. You directed my decisions here. Go back and feed on the faithfulness of God. For some of you in the room, some of you watching online, you need to do the same thing. You've been discouraged. You've had all these things distracting you. It's time to reorient, refocus, reprioritize your attention to the faithfulness of God. God has been faithful to you. God is faithful to you, and God will be faithful to you. God is consistent and steady. When the sun rises, when the sun sets, let it remind you that the faithfulness of God never changes. Regardless of the clouds, regardless of the temperature, regardless of the season or what time of year, the faithfulness of God is steady and consistent. And the most reliable thing in your life is the faithfulness and love of God. So feed on that faithfulness. Don't feed on the fear. Don't feed on the insecurity, the uncertainty, we don't know. Just choose to feed on the faithfulness of God. And as you do, your heart will be strengthened. The clouds will kind of clear away from your focus and your vision. You'll have hope and joy in your heart. There'll be a peace and a wholeness in your soul. But you don't have that in part because of feeding on the faithfulness of God. Choose to feed on the faithfulness of God. Do you know anybody by the name of Missy? You can think about it and tell me afterwards. But I just connect with you on that name, Missy. So family, I just encourage you on Wednesday night, we're doing praise and worship. Make sure you RSVP. It's going to be super powerful. Of course, watch online. That'll be a great opportunity. We love your guts. And let's have community for the quarantine cure. Amen. God bless you. Have a fantastic afternoon. Let's go be community. God bless.
Thank you for listening. To learn more about Encounter Church, visit ecdenver.org or find us on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram.